I'm joined on the line now by the Defence Secretary, Michael Fallon. And when he gave that reply, Mr. Fallon, were you surprised as a member of the Cabinet?
No, I think it was a fairly straight answer. And when you think about it, John, it was a fairly obvious answer. I mean, he's not going to go on and on. Of course not.
So you sort of knew that he was going to say it?
I think implicitly everybody knows that, that there's a shelf life to any politician. Nobody's absolutely indispensable.
Well, I don't know. Remember Margaret Thatcher? We will go on and on. I mean, she was very clear about that. And I'm trying to think of other examples where the...
Well, there's Blair and Brown. I mean, they messed this up. They messed this up year after year.
Precisely.
The Prime Minister was absolutely clear that he's looking for a full second term in the election we've got in a few weeks' time to complete the economic recovery and the jobs growth that comes with it, the big reforms of welfare and education, a full term so that people know exactly where they are.
Well, we don't know exactly where we are, though, do we? That's the problem, because when you say a full term, at some point during that term, he has to say, right, there will now be a leadership election, doesn't he?
Well, I think it's only, with great respect, it's only at Westminster people are fretting about what might happen in February or March 2020.
Oh, really?
In 5 years'
time. Oh, this is of constitutional importance,
but this
surely.
But let's deal with one election at a time. This is the choice the country now faces between going on with a competent government, finishing the job of getting this economy going again, or the chaos you might have with Miliband going back to the past and a coalition of minor parties and all the rest of it.
Well,
this is what I think people want to focus on now, and what they have to decide is whether they're going to re-elect this government. And the Prime Minister made it very clear last night that he is there, he's standing for a full five-year time. What happens in 2020, really, I don't think, bothers a lot of people at the moment.
Well, in a way, that's verging on the irresponsible, isn't it? Because what we will be doing on May the 7th is we'll be electing a new government and a new Prime Minister. We are concerned about that Prime Minister's judgment. We're concerned that he is thinking about the future of the country, not just about the next few years, but the long-term future. This is somewhere where we haven't quite been before. He has said something of profound importance, that he is not going to take us into the next election. Therefore, at some point, we have to do something that we haven't quite done before. We're going to have an election for the leader of a party. What happens then to the Prime Minister? Does he stand aside once the new leader has been elected? And therefore, if he does, how long before the election does that take place? These aren't silly little trifling issues that affect only the people inside the Westminster Beltway. They affect all of us, the country.
Well, I think if he'd said exactly the opposite, that he wanted to go on and he wasn't prepared
to
answer
anything.
The question when he was likely to finish, you'd have accused him, and quite rightly, of arrogance and of wanting, term after term. He answered the question in an absolutely straight way, and 10 years as Prime Minister is probably enough
That's
for
not
anybody.
The question I was putting to you, as you well know. I was putting to you a quite different question about what happens afterwards, but there we are. It looks as if nobody knows. That's the short answer, isn't it?
Well, I don't think anybody can entirely predict what's going to be happening in 2020. What you do know now is that you've got a Prime Minister who's going to see out a full five-year term, and people can be absolutely clear when they vote Conservative, they'll be voting for David Cameron to finish the job he started
Except
in 2010.
Of course, he can't see out the full five-year term because he has to give way to a new leader to take us into the next election. But there we are. All right, we'll leave that stand. Now, today, you are going to be addressing MPs about the Falklands Islands. Can you just give us some idea of what the problem is here? Because Russia, according to the Sun this morning, is working on a deal to lease 12 long-range bombers to Argentina, and that has raised fears of a new Falklands invasion. Is that what you're worried about?
Well, we've been reviewing the defence of the islands. It's right to do this every so often. We started that review last year, and I'm going to be reporting to Parliament on the findings. And we do need to modernise our defences there to ensure that we have sufficient troops there and that the islands are properly defended in terms of air defence and maritime defence. And I'll be giving details to Parliament, and I have to do that first. I know you'll understand that a little later today. The threat, of course, to the islands remains, but so does our commitment to being absolutely clear that the islanders have the right to remain British and have the right to proper protection by our forces.
But is it your view that the threat to the islands has been increased by a deal that President Putin has done with the Argentine government?
Well, it's our general view that the threat has not reduced. Argentina still sadly maintains its claim to the islands, even 30 or more years after the original invasion and the war. And we have to respond to that and make sure that the islands are properly protected.
Yes,
and we
but
have
has
to take
it been
account.
Increased? Has the threat
well,
been increased
we have
because
to take
of the deal with
of,
Putin?
We have to take account of any future and possible threats to the island, and we have to weigh all these things up. And I, you know, for fairly obvious security reasons, I'm not going to I'm not going to give MPs or indeed you full details of exactly how we defend the islands.
And I'm specifically not asking you that question.
Good.
What I'm asking you is whether you believe the threat to the Falklands has been increased by the deal that Putin has apparently done with Argentina. Has it been increased?
Well, that that particular deal hasn't been confirmed. But all I can say is the threat remains. It's a very live threat. We have to respond to it, and I am responding to it this afternoon.
Because the obvious worry is that every time, in this scenario, every time Argentina buys a new, frigate, we buy a new cruiser or something. I mean, it seems a bit silly, this kind of endless escalation. Doesn't it?
Well, it does, and it's for Argentina, of course, to drop its claim, which has no basis in international law, and over which many lives were lost over 30 years ago. But while that threat remains, our job is to protect the islands, and particularly to protect the right of the islanders to remain British, and they voted to remain British overwhelmingly in a referendum very recently.
Indeed. Now should you not be more concerned with, or at least as concerned, with keeping the promise that we made to NATO, which was we would spend 2% of our GDP on defence, and we now know that we are not going to meet that promise. Isn't that a matter of great concern?
Well, the 2% figure is something we agreed at NATO. I'm very proud that we're meeting the 2%
at the moment.
We're
not going to in the future, are we?
Well, we're going to be meeting it again next year, and then we're going to be setting the spending totals for the following 3 years when we do the three-year spending review later in the autumn. But what I can tell you is that we have long-term commitments to our defence. We have a 10-year equipment plan. You know we're building two new aircraft carriers. We're building hunter-killer submarines.
They will have fighters, will they?
We're buying joint strike fighters. We're ordering new armoured vehicles for the army. That is a 10-year equipment plan that takes you well through the next spending review period. You also have the Prime Minister's pledge that we will not be cutting the size of the regular army any further.
Yeah, but I'm asking you about
finally,
the 2% commitment.
And finally, you have the commitment to modernising our nuclear deterrent. So these are commitments that take us way through the next spending review period.
And it doesn't deal with the question I put to you, and that's concerning a great many of your backbenchers, other people besides them, the 2% commitment, which, as you acknowledge, we did make, and we are not pledged to keep after this period that you describe.
Well, the budget we have at the moment, as you know, is the largest in Europe. It's the fifth largest in the world.
That's
the
point. It's the
34
2% I'm
billion
asking
pounds
you about.
A year. But we're meeting the 2% target. We're going
at
to go on
moment.
Meeting it next year.
And then
we're going to review all the various spending commitments we have together as GDP itself increases. We're going to look at all those spending review commitments together. But what I can assure you is that our troops will have the equipment and the resources they need. And we've proved
Can I put to you what General Ray Odierno, the head of the American Army, as you well know, said after just a few weeks ago. In the past, we would have a British Army division working alongside an American division. Now, it might be a British brigade inside an American division, or even a British battalion inside an American brigade. They are deeply concerned, the Americans.
Well, that is not the view I had in Washington last week when I met the new defence secretary there. I wasn't pressed on this matter. But as a matter of fact, the general isn't quite right. We can still field a division if we need to. We are deploying all over the world at the moment. I think you know we're deploying in Sierra Leone in the fight against Ebola. We have ship helicopters, 700 men down there. We have 600 fighting ISIL in the Gulf. We have 500 still in Afghanistan. We sent a plane last weekend to Vanuatu to help in the hurricane relief. We are still deploying around the world, and the Americans were very careful last week to acknowledge the contribution that we make and to acknowledge the strength of our partnership, the partnership between the United States and the United Kingdom. They regard us as an indispensable partner.
Michael Fallon, many thanks.